that's the way in which we use an insurance company. Where you and your churches are in effect paying the claims. So when the claims, which this past year were 165% of expected claims, rather during this past 8 months, with our present advisor consulting company and the prior company, equaled 165%. Therefore, all we're doing now is reflecting our experience. But I would point out to you, gentlemen, that during this past year, through no deliberate error on our part, but due to the increased number of participants and to several other factors, we were actually underpriced about $10 per month during the current year. I would also like to point out to you that of that $175, which you may be comparing with some other commercial carrier, $4.28 of that covers life insurance and accidental death and dismemberment, which would probably not be a part of your Blue Cross plan. It also covers $20 a month for building a reserve runout, which means that August 31 of next year, we should have our reserve built for a group of 1,000 participants. If we assume that the plan's not going beyond that, we would have that $20 leeway there to absorb any increase in medical costs for the following year. So we feel that we have the plan structured as well as we can possibly structure it. We do not discourage anyone from seeking a lower rate and a better coverage anywhere else. But we do feel that this plan should remain in existence with these rates, with these benefits, and that if it is approved that, and we do not have a mass leaving of the plan, that it will stabilize, hopefully, during this next year.
Thank you. Number three, I believe, has a question.
Yes, sir.
Mike three.
Bill Fox, teaching elder, Gulf Coast Presbytery. To say this is terrible is an understatement. This increases my premium annually $720, and I too am going to look around. I would think that I went to the question and answer session last night, and I can understand some of the reasons for the increase. I don't fully understand why it's such an increase. I do agree that we've got a policy that has a lot of luxuries and frills in it. And I would like to ask the question, is anyone here with the annuities program prepared to give us some quotations, some optional quotations, rather than this one plan, which cuts out all of these frills and gives us something that protects us against a major catastrophe? I could come up with $1,000, even $2,500 perhaps, but it's that $20,000 bill or that $50,000 bill that I worry about. So I would like to know what it would cost us to have a $500 deductible across the board policy, a $750, a $1,000, a $2,000, a $2,500, a $3,000, and a $5,000 across the board deductible, no frills. And I believe that would reduce our premium. And if the brothers could hear that, perhaps take a straw vote, I think they would prefer that rather than paying $175 every month. I would also like to know what the former RPCES paid and some of these other denominations. I think that their premiums are less. And then, before we leave, I'd like to be able to vote on that. Please, sir.
There are several others seeking the floor. Number 10, number 7, number 11, and number 2. Number three, your question?
Yes, sir. Is there anyone here prepared to give us a quotation on some deductible, across-the-board deductible?
The number, our time has elapsed, our 10 minutes for debate. Is it your will to extend this debate? I see a number of questions. And then just extend it for 15 minutes. How many would favor extending it for 15 minutes? Say aye.
Aye.
No, say negative, nay. 15 minutes extended for the debate. Tell those who speak, please use restraint because there are quite a few that are wanting to speak. The question has been raised, does anyone have the figures for the RPCES plan? Do you, Mr. Johnny?
Yeah. Also, whatever we're doing here with the expert witness, not setting up the space time. I don't know whether
they're aware
of that or not.
The timer should tell that. Yes. Dr. Dernis could probably answer that question. We call on him for number 10.
It was my privilege. This is the first time I'm speaking to the General Assembly, the PCS, RPC. And it was my privilege to meet with the committee on this thing, and I found them outstanding men of dedication, of ability, their understanding of insurance. There were men who were engaged in it. And what the amount they present here is not out of order as insurance companies go. I think we resent the idea of having to pay more, but these men are not taking any advantage. They're trying to keep it as low as they possibly can. And I'm happy for the opportunity. I'm very humbled that I was put on their committee. And I pledge myself to work with them as much as I can. Our cost is less, but don't try to compare it with that, because they're doing the best they can, and we're going to try to uphold, and if you give patience, I think the thing will change and you'll get a better report next time. So I trust, now if you want to know what we're charging, we charge $45 for the single and $95 for the family, but it's a different way in which we operate, and I don't want to take that as an insult against what we're doing. I have full respect in what this committee has reported, and I am fully in back of them and trust that you will take them at their word. They're trying to do for you, and it's not their fault that expenses have gone up to that extent.
Thank you. Number 7.
Ms. Moderator, Aiken Taylor, Western Carolina's Presbyterian.
A point of order.
You had already recognized an order in which you would recognize this, and I believe you mentioned microphone number 10 and then went around, did you not? Just a moment
ago. Guess I did, but I guess I should not have counted Dernis in on that.
No, I was standing here when you...
You were standing there before he was, and he was called in to answer a question. You were correct. Number 10 first, and then we go to number 7, I believe.
Thank you. John Holmes, I'm from Mid-Atlantic. And the reason I was so energetic in trying to get the point of order is because I have something that's great on my heart, and that is a word of thanks to this body. I have to make a confession. I'm one of the reasons that your premium is like it is, or rather my family is. But some of you are enjoying good health. Some of you are enjoying moderate health. My family has enjoyed very poor health, except for myself and my son. It's been a joy to me to go about this assembly and have people stop me all over this place and ask me, how's your wife? We've been praying for her. And it's been a joy to tell that she's improved. But it's also a joy for me to know that those same men who were willing to pray for me were doing what James said to do about it. They weren't just saying, be warmed and filled, but they were indeed not only praying for my wife, they were doing something for her and for me and our family. And that's the point of our annuity, our insurance program as a body in Christ. And it should not be otherwise. It should not be otherwise. And I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart that you have helped us. And I just remind you of the words of the Lord, well, the words of Scripture, as it points to this whole matter of helping one another. And it says in the Scriptures, he that does not care for his own has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. But I commend you, men. You do not fit into this category. Thank you very much.
Number 7.
Ms. Moderator Aiken Taylor, Western Carolina's Presbyterian. Last fall, I had major surgery.
I was carrying a minimum Blue Cross Blue Shield policy as a supplement to that of the Presbyterian Church in America. The quarterly premiums of the Blue Cross Blue Shield at that time were $265 a quarter. They've since gone up to $290 a quarter. My hospital bill, just the hospitalization, was nearly $1,600. Of that amount, Blue Cross Blue Shield, with $260 a quarter, paid $500. There are ways in which benefits can be calculated, and I am prepared to state that the rates are going up all over, and what is being proposed, as much as they sting, is not out of line.
Thank you, sir. I think we go next, number four.
Jenny Sullivan, Covenant Presbytery, Meridian, Illinois. I just want to underline what Taylor had to say. As a government employee and head of my office, it's my responsibility to counsel my employees on the type of insurance they get. And just recently, we had an open season to look at insurance. Our rates went up about 50% as well. And you're comparing apples and oranges, as my insurance agent would say. So I think the program as presented is very good.
Number two.
The moderator, I identified myself earlier, but I'm curious
Your name.
Trey Tranum, Reed River Presbyterian Church, Calvary Presbytery, ruling elder.
Thank you.
I'm curious as to why we don't cut out some of the frills like the prescription cards. I believe that it's recognized throughout the industry that this is one very costly frill because you get a lot of claims that have to be processed, and it doesn't pay very much in dollars to our people. And it seems to me that, just as this gentleman back here has said, we could cut out some of these frills and luxuries and hold the premium down, and we really wouldn't be cutting into the dollars that our people would receive. Prescription claims are many, many, and that's great administrative cost.
Is there a direct answer to that? So we go on to the discussion to number 11.
Moderator.
Number 11.
Moderator. Tom Stein, ruling elder, Great Lakes Presbytery.
Number 11.
I hope that I can offer what I hope will be an unbiased yet an informed opinion on this. I've spent 27 years in the life insurance business, much of it working heavily in the employee benefits area. I would say as a general statement, well, let me preface that first by saying I wear a yellow badge, so this is new exposure to this plan. I came in and I looked at the benefits, which I am accustomed to doing, and I looked at the cost, and I know cost figures that I have on my desk at home right now. The cost-benefit ratio is very much in line. I wish that I had only this much of an increase to deliver to some of my clients when I get home. I have some larger ones. So I would simply state that looking at the plan and looking at the cost, it is not out of line. It is true that in probably some geographic areas, you may be able to find slightly less coverage or slightly less expensive coverage at this particular point in time. I would simply caution you that if you do, you will probably get your rate increase in about 6 months. The inflationary cost spiral in the medical care field is just plain ridiculous, but everyone is experiencing it. I would make one comment. I think the brother who mentioned about the prescription card has a valid point. You might want to consider removing that. It's a mighty nice benefit. It's wonderful to go to the drugstore with $2 in your hand and get your prescription. But I think most insurance people, most employee benefits people would say that the cost-benefit ratio there is not what it ought to be. Thank you.
Thank you. Number eight.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I'd like to get some information also. I work outside the PCA at a corporation of about equal size of the assembly of our teaching elders. And I too have a plan almost identical to the one they are proposing here, with the exception of I do have dental. Okay. But I would like to point out, though, our premiums, which hasn't gone up for 2 years now, they are currently slightly higher than you're paying now, and they will probably go up very shortly.
Thank you. Number 9.
Petros Rukas, New Jersey Presbytery, Teaching Elder. Mr. Moderator, I would like to point out, first of all, that I have a private plan with the same benefits. I pay $115 a month. 2 years ago, I was paying $117 a month. It went down. I also have a wife who is a high-risk health. She has been covered by the plan with pre-existing conditions. So it is false to say that because you have pre-existing conditions, you have to pay as high a premium as $170 or so. I would suggest that there are other plans that may be far better than the one that is presented to us today.
Thank you. Number 6.
Moderator.
Okay.
Mr. Moderator, Chuck Arias from the New Jersey Presbytery. First of all, I want to acknowledge that I put all my trust and confidence within the committee because I feel like we have told them to do a job, they've come back, and I want to support them. But as I say that, I am a RPCEF. Even though I wear a white badge, I turn my yellow one in because I want to be a full-fledged PCA. But I have to look at it in practical terms, even though I'm saying I want to support it. One is that there are two pastors at the church where I'm from. That means that Covenant will have to pay all around $1,000 increase apiece for us this coming year, which means $2,000. On top of that, if my wife or if we have a baby, the increase from the insurance policy that we had previous, which was $95 a month, would be about another $1,000. In other words, I figured it up in terms of your percentages and how you would work it, and in terms of a baby, or in terms of the cost of having a baby, and which we had one about a year and a half ago. So that would be another $1,000. So for this year, if we happen to have another child, it would be a $2,000 increase, and it could, if I was paying the premium just for myself. So it's expensive. But on the other hand, we're Presbyterian, we've gone in something together, and if it's important that all of us hang in on this thing, and we stay together, and that will help keep the cost down on the long term, then I say all of us should support them.
Thank you. Number 3.
Bill Fox, Teaching Elder, Gulf Coast. I agree, it'd be nice to all stay together, but I think I'd like to hear what it would cost us to have a no-frills policy with just some greater deductibles across the board. Like I asked, was anyone prepared to give us any figures on that? And I didn't hear an answer to that. My question a few minutes ago was not answered. Is anyone prepared to give us some quotations on a no-frills package?
Mr. Darling, would you?
I can't at this right now. What we're going to do is not feed into the debate or flow of debate, but wait until it's finished, then give the folks a time to answer their accumulating questions. They will answer your questions as we come to the end of debate time.
But we don't want to come up here and vote and pass this thing when we might prefer a much reduced premium for a no-frills package. I don't want that to get away from us.
We will have the expert come and try to answer that question now.
First of all, I'd like to say that what one man's needs is another man's poison, so it may be a little difficult to define a frill. We don't believe we have any frills in the coverage. They all cover real needs. There might be some debate about the PCS card, but other than that, we don't think there's any frill that could be anything to be defined as a frill in the coverage. regarding deductibles, in the structure of benefits that we have proposed to you, that whereby we hope to encourage outpatient type care, our advisor and consultant with money tells us that we just could not superimpose a further deductible on that plan and without distorting what we're trying to accomplish. If we were to leave the benefits as they are presently structured, but put an across the board $1,000 deductible rather than a $100 deductible, it would actually require a higher premium than what we are proposing under the proposed benefits. As a matter of fact, it'd be $10 a month higher. It'd be $185 a month rather than $175 a month. The only way we could structure the existing benefits and have it cost the same as what we're proposing to you now would have a $2,000 across-the-board deductible. And gentlemen, it's the opinion of the trustees. We met last night again, and we labored hard over this thing to midnight. And it's our opinion that the only thing that we can propose to you as trustees is what you have in this recommendation. Now, I would like to take this opportunity while I'm here to respond further to one other question which one of the brothers brought up here to us regarding why do you use an MPP plan rather than self-insured plan. First of all, we're saving $25,000 a year in premium taxes. Secondly, as I indicated earlier, we have the cash flow of the amount that you pay in to cover expected losses, expected claims, which we can invest rather than an insurance company holding those. As I say, we looked at this thing hard last year when Mitch Cooley was chairman, and he did extensive testing of the marketplace. He surveyed many, many companies from whom we received proposals, and we just feel that at this time, in the present environment, that what we're offering you is the best that we can do as trustees.
Incidentally, I might recommend that you all take the plan that I use, which is a great deal less. The only trouble is that the dear uncle who insures me also is in bad way financially. Uncle Sam. And room number two.
Don Graham from Gulf Coast. I appreciate Frank Dernis's high remarks on the quality of our committee. At the same time, I would like to insert that those of us with TCUS backgrounds are aware of the fact that that was the distinguished committee of TCUS to the time of our leaving into the present, and it was so because of the composition of the membership of the board. And I, without any reflection, because I couldn't even name three members of the present committee, I feel it is extremely important for us to put on this committee those who have competence in this field. And I, for one, would be ready to vote any time to have 75% of the membership of this particular committee composed of ruling elders. May I add also that I have some older friends in this assembly who might like to know what the rate is going to be when you have Medicare.
Amen. Do you have a figure for that, the supplemental Medicare, for a person over 65? It's not on this list.
The rate for the supplement coverage will be $22 per month.
$22 per month.
Sir.
Thank you.
No, sir, that's an increase, I believe, from $17 to $21.
Thank you.
$22, rather.
Our time is rapidly going. Number 11, I believe, is a long time ask for the floor.
I'm Jack Treloar from the Mississippi Valley Presbytery. I was covered by Blue Cross of a group plan for many years. After terminating my employment with the group, I had to get individual coverage on Blue Cross. I'd like you to know that my premium is now, after 30 years without a claim against the company, $190.96 a month. That's the end of, that's my monthly premium under Blue Cross on, you pull out on individual plan in Mississippi, That's the premium that I'm now paying until I reach that 65 age.
That's a family plan, or
that's just one individual.
One individual.
$190.96. You better watch pulling out and trying to get an individual plan.
Thank you, Mr. Holliday, number 8.
Charles Holliday from Ascension Presbytery. All of these facts are new to me since I just came into the PCA, but I was wondering on page 404 in the budget, how this budget is met. Is this met through the premiums, or how else, how do these amounts come in?
Your answer, please, Mr.
May I have the question again, Mr. Moderator?
Page 404, Exhibit A, all these salaries, employees, telephone, and so on, who pays those? Page 404.
I don't have a copy, but I assume that the question relates. All right, thank you very much. The question relates to the budget for the total operation of the Board of Insurance and Annuities. A factor that has been given to us by the General Assembly auditors is applied to the total expense of running the office. They do a study and determine how much of each employee's time should be attributed to each part of the office, insurance, annuities, and relief. And then there's a division of other office costs, and the actual payment of these funds comes from a charge against the earnings of the respective funds. Now, since the inception of the Board of Trustees, the funds, while they are accounted for separately, three separate funds are commingled as far as their investment is concerned. And so the expenses of the office are drawn out of a common bank account and then charged to their respective funds. I don't know whether that answers the question or not.
15 minutes is up. Do you want to continue? Those in favor of extending debate another 5 minutes, please say aye. Against that, nay? I would say the ayes have it for 5 minutes. Okay, it'll take 5 minutes to count. Shall we? Those in favor of extending 5 minutes, please rise, and we'll see how many. All up. Okay. Sit down, and those opposed to extending 5 minutes, please rise. It is lost. We come to, I would say it is lost, would you not?
The committee has the last word on the matter.
Yes, Mr. Darling has the last word. His committee has the last word on the matter, and then we will proceed to vote on the resolution.
This is the most unusual situation. I'm not at home, so I may have the last word. Three very quick words. One is a bit of, having been in the insurance business myself for a number of years, a bit of pious advice to those who would look elsewhere is ask all of the questions, especially health exclusions for either specific or indeterminate times. The second is that in this matter is that we are not asking you to bind yourself to this plan by voting for it. And I suppose the third is in the form of a plea, and that is that if you do not vote for this, you will exclude a number of those who have either who are personally uninsurable or who have dependents that are uninsurable.
Thank you. We're voting on point number six, page 461, that the General Assembly approve the group health insurance premium and benefit changes effective August 1st, 1982 as follows. And we have A and B. I guess that whole thing we're voting on. All of point number six. Is that right, Mr. Downing?
Is correct, Mr. Moderator.
Point number six has passed out on page 461 and 462. And we must come to the vote according to your will. Those in favor of this action to approve, will you please say aye?
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. It is approved. Thank you. Then we proceed to number 7.
To please page 462 and item number 7.
Point of order, yes, sir. Number 5.
A land surgeon, Delmarva Presbytery teaching elder. I'd like to make an amendment that number 7 read as follows.
Is that a point of order?
To change the order of the...
I wonder how that is a point of order, sir.
The motion I'd like to make goes best following number 6 with the business at hand, the issue we just discussed, and would come under the, perhaps amending the whole report at the end.
In short, you'd like to make a motion?
Yes.
If you state your motion, and if there is no objection by the body, why, we could perhaps allow it now.
Thank you, sir. Whereas there has been much illness in the families of our pastors and staff during the last year, I move that the moderator suggest to our church a day of fasting and prayer in each quarter of the year for the health and strength of the members of the Presbyterian Church in America, that we may all serve to his glory.
You've heard the motion. You'll write it up. We'll call that in order unless there is an objection. I hear no objection, so we'll proceed to the motion. It was a day of prayer every quarter, was it, to pray a prayer and fasting?
Yes, sir.
A day of prayer and fasting every quarter. You've not specified any which one. You say for the moderator to decide.
Yes, sir.
You've heard the motion. I think probably no debate is necessary for that. Those in favor, ready to vote? Those in favor, please say aye. Contrary, nay. I move that, I would rule that that is passed. Thank you. We go on then to number 7.
Now let us return to number 7. That the Board of Trustees be granted permission to adjust health insurance premiums as required from time to time, but no more often than once every 6 months between General Assemblies to protect the viability of the program. I so move this.
It has been moved. Any discussion? Number 10 on this motion. I may say that gives you permission to make it a whole lot cheaper if you want to, is that right? Amen. Number 10.
Mr. Moderator Smith Cooley, may I ask a teaching elder Ascension Presbyter, may I ask a question? Are the rates that have just been voted upon rates that are for the next year? Are they guaranteed for the next 12 months?
Could you tell?
Jim says yes, they are.
Well, excuse me, we wouldn't need a response, I think, from the Board of Trustees, and who is that doing it?
Jim Hughes just told me yes.
Jim Hughes says yes, they're guaranteed for 12 months.
Moderator, I sort of always hesitate to place matters in the hands of trustees or anybody else that the assembly needs to act upon. Now, I read this recommendation rather quickly, and apparently it really means that between now and our next assembly, 6 months from now, they could possibly make a downward adjustment in the rate. That would be nice, though I don't think it's probable. And there is a sense in which when we come to these insurance rates, our experience determines what we're going to have to pay. About the only flexible that we have is how careful we manage our expenses in the office that operates the fund. And on our part, how carefully we make use of the plan. Now, the design of the plan as amended is to encourage us to receive our medical care at the least expensive possible way. I just hesitate, however, to place in the hands of the trustees, because I don't believe this motion is limited to this next year. It would be a continuing thing, as I understand it, unless we act upon it again, which means they could increase rates at the middle of the year. And I would just rather we retain this prerogative. It's sort of a check and balance. They have to come and justify what they're doing before the assembly. As we saw, we all griped about it, but we all voted for it. I even voted for it, the higher price. But I like this system of their reporting. It kind of keeps their feet to the fire. I'm opposed to this recommendation.
Thank you. Other discussion? Was there a response to that? You said something about the next assembly, Don. Don?
May I please respond to Mr. Cooley?
On the matter of data, then.
On the matter of date, we specifically, as a committee of commissioners, amended the recommendation of the trustees by adding the word General Assembly, so that we have that opportunity of reviewing that at each, that right at each General Assembly.
It is not a perpetual right, in short. Number six,
Charles McNutt, New River Presbytery. I want to propose an amendment. After the word premium, add the word downward.
be seconded. Is that seconded? Do you want to speak to that, Mr. McNutt?
Yes, sir. We've already been told that these figures were fixed for a year. As far as the amount of them is concerned, they cannot be raised. But if in some possibility they could be lowered, it would be great. And we've been already been told that they're fixed for a year, so there's no use to consider the upward part.
Seriously. You've heard the motion, and it is seconded, and you've heard the reason. Do you wish to discuss this further? Can we bring this to a vote? Those, number two? Number two.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to speak against the amendment. It is, of course, the intention of the trustees to take action to reduce the rate in the event that were possible. But I'd like to point out that the words added at the end there, in order to maintain the viability of the plan, would have no meaning if we insert the word downward, because what we intend is to have some sort of authority from the General Assembly in the event that we had made some miscalculation of the required reserve or some other sort, that rather than have the plan go bankrupt in the middle of the year and not be able to provide benefits, that the trustees might have authority to adjust upward as well as downward. We don't anticipate this. The rate, as far as the expected claims are concerned, are fixed for the following year. But I did give you a figure there of $20 per month, which we are be collecting on the full family rate for adding to our reserve. Now, if something were to happen, say, to the market, to where the whole bottom fell out of the economy, and our reserves would then be valued at, based on the assets that we have now, at something far below what we would be required to have on hand, it might be necessary in order to maintain the viability of the plan to have some rate increase. Now, we believe that the brothers would prefer that the trustees, whom we hope they judiciously elected and selected, would have some kind of authority to keep the plan in action. So I would urge you to vote down this amendment.
You've heard the arguments, and are we ready to vote on the amendment, just the amendment? Shall we bring this to a vote? Those in favor of the amendment, please say aye. And those opposed, nay. The nays have it. Are we ready to vote on the number seven? Those in favor of the proposal, number seven. Number nine, asking for the floor on this. Number nine.
Wallace Tinsley, teaching elder at Calvary. I'm not sure I've been able to put together Mr. Leopard's statement and Mr. Hughes' assent to a question a while ago. If I put them together, I come up with the idea that this is a fixed rate for the coming year unless a disaster happens. Is that correct, Mr. Hughes?
Mr. Hughes, number 10, to answer that question.
Mr. Leopard pointed out, though, the possibility of something happening to the retention that we, or the reserves we retain from the premium. What I had reference to was the amount we have to pay the insurance company
and the minimum premium plus the cost for claims.
Thank you. Are we ready to? Are we ready then to vote? Those in favor of original motion, number 7, the amendment failed. Those in favor of the original motion, please say aye. Contrary, nay. I believe the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Number 8.
Recommendation number 8, and may I call this especially to the attention of our former RPCES brethren, that the former RPCES ministers and lay employees not be eligible for the PCA health insurance plan until January 1, 1983, and then participation will be voluntary as provided in the recommendation number 9 below, and that the General Assembly requests the Synod's hospitalization plan and the RPCES pension plan to permit presently covered RPCES eligibles to continue in their programs through December 31, 1982. I so move this.
This has been moved. You might want to look down at number 9 also for information as you vote on this, but number 8 is before you. Is there any question? Number 9. Mike 9.
David Keats, teaching elder from Mid-Atlantic. Does this imply that the General Assembly will not allow us to remain in the hospitalization plan after this date? I was told last night that we would be permitted to stay in the plan and that it would be expressed on the floor here from those within the committee. And the way this reads, it means that the General Assembly will only permit us to stay in it until the end of 1982.
Excuse me, let me refer this to Mr. Sweet, please.
Technically, the RPCES does not have a health insurance program of its own. The RPCES Synod's hospitalization program is actually a program administered by the Coralville Home and included RPCES eligible. Now, the treasurer of that hospitalization plan has agreed with the Board of Trustees to permit the RPCES personnel to continue in that plan until December 31st, 1982. In the joining and receiving, it was generally agreed that the plan under which the RPCES ministers are presently insured would not continue beyond December 31st, 82, but we didn't have any authority over it. We could not require the people to come out. We still cannot require you to come out. That's something that is beyond our authority and something that we don't want to do. What we do say is to avoid adverse selection against our plan. If 75% of the RPCES ministers presently in that plan come into the PCA plan, you may come in without any consideration of pre-existing conditions. Now, if the administrators of that plan would be pleased to let you remain in that plan beyond December 31st, that's something that they have total control over and we have no authority in.
Thank you. Number 10.
Moderator, I'd just like to make it clear that as far as the hospitalization plan at Coralville, we have no intention whatsoever as to make any difficult situation as it relates to the plan here of this denomination. And we're 100% for them. We're going to work with them, and we're going to try to help in every way that we possibly can. And if they think that it would be wise for
the people here who are in our plan to continue, we would be willing to accept that, so that we are not trying to put pressure in any way. We feel that if everyone here would have patience, and I feel strongly for the committee of our denomination here now, I have the fullest confidence in them. And I think that they're victims of circumstances beyond their control, and I would appeal to all of you to be patient with them, give them your support, and show them that you trust, and I think that the outcome will be very encouraging to all. Thank you. Are we ready to come to a vote on this? Number 10, Mr. Tuning.
Mr. Tuning wanted me to make clear that they are free to stay after December 31st, 1982. I thought I made that clear, so that we're not cutting them off. It will be up to the committee here of our presbytery, of our denomination here now, the PCA, and whatever it is, we're going to be in subjection to them as far as our operation is concerned as it relates to our denomination here. So be assured of our cooperation and our desire to help in every way we can, and to give them every bit of support that's possible.
Thank you. I think that answered the question. Number 6.
Mr. Moderator, Mark Ressler, teaching elder of Southern Florida Presbytery. The question that just came up in the back of the room here with regard to what Dr. Dernis just raised is, would the PCA people be eligible to enter their program? I mean, if that's the case, if they're going to continue it.
Number 9, Mr. Dr. Tuning, you have a question answer on that?
Richard Tuning from the Delmarva Presbytery. This may be out of order, but as a board member of the Coryville Presbyterian Home, the statement that Dr. Dernis made that the members of the RPCES were by that board authorized to continue beyond December 31, 1982. The other issue, which has just been raised by my brother, would have to be brought by Dr. Dernis to that board and so decided, because that is a totally different and independent group. And that is yet to be seen as to what would happen. And I don't mean that in any way, shape, or form as a threat or a negative response. Dr. Dernis, I think, has very guardedly tried to tell you he hopes that some things can be done. But that's a totally different board with no relationship to the denomination that would have to decide that.
Thank you, sir. Are we ready to vote on number 8? I see no one seeking the floor. Those in favor of adopting number 8, please say aye. Those opposed, nay. It is adopted. Number 9.
Item number 9, that an open enrollment for participation in the PCA health insurance plan be held for all eligible former RPCES ministers and lay employees during the months of October, November, and December 1982, with coverage and premium payments to become effective January 1, 1983, and that if at least 75% of the present RPCES Synod hospitalization plan participants enroll, the pre-existing conditions limitation for the first year coverage will be waived for the entire group. I so move this.
You've heard the motion. I have a question of detail, I guess. In the one case, it says that all our former RPCES ministers may come in, and the 75% applies to present RPCES Synod hospitalization plan participants. I gathered that there may be some not now covered who might come in, and that would figure in with the 75% of the pre-existing Synod hospitalization plan coverage?
I'm sorry, I must have a trustee to help on this technical.
That's rather detailed.
Jim Hughes or Tom Leppert, one of the two.
Channel 10, you have the answer to that, Mr. Hughes?
Because we had to have a defined group in order to determine who the 75% would be,
yes.
It has to be 75% of the present participants in the Senate's plan.
Yes. And that a person not under the Synod's plan would not count if they should come in.
Would not count for the 75%.
No.
But if 75% of those people come in, then all the rest would also have the same prerogative of not having first-year limitations.
Thank you. That answers the question. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Number 11.
Mr. Moderator, Dick Fraser, teaching elder, Central Florida Presbytery. The question that I would ask deals with this same area. Covenant Theological Seminary employees are covered by a separate plan of their own. What are their options going to be in terms of abandoning their present plan and opting to come in as a group into the PCA plan?
That was approximately my question, really. Some answer to that, Mr. Hughes?
All right. Fine. Mr. Hughes,
two.
And Mr. Leppard.
Number two.
Mr. Moderator, I think I can answer that by discussion that I had with our consultant last night. I believe that we can define each of these separately insured groups in the same way that we have defined those who are in the Quarterville plan, and I believe that we would be able to accept them into the plan with a 75% participation, but we will have to clarify that at a later time.
Thank you.
Mr. Moderator, then should I offer an amendment to include this, or can we assume they will automatically add other groups, even though they're not specifically named in this current proposal?
I would suppose that an amendment is not necessary.
I believe that there must be, Mr. Fraser, a little bit of research through the carrier to be sure what type of accommodation would be made. Otherwise, you would enter as a regular PCA minister enrolling in October, November, December, and coming under the plan January 1st. With the stipulations that have been made concerning the Quarryville home, with the Quarryville plan that has required 75% enrollment to get a removal of the one-year limitation on pre.
I doubt if an amendment would help. I imagine it probably better be taken up
with the consultant. Could I interrupt just a moment? I believe by the time we get to the end of this report that we can have a response to that question.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Shall we go to the next point? Number 10? Excuse me, we haven't got this voted. Number 9, those in favor, please, excuse me. There's one asking for the microphone. Number 4.
David Linden, teaching elder, Puget Sound. Mr. Moderator, it seems to me that many RPs will stay in the Quarryville plan, and that those RPs who are not insurable would seek to enter the PCA plan. I now doubt that the 75% would be attained if the Quarryville plan continued.
Maybe.
Has this problem really been fixed?
No. It would only concern... It would only concern the RPCES people, not the PCA. Dr. Tuning, number 9.
Richard Tuning, of Belmarva Presbytery. I'd like just a point of personal privilege for giving information.
Yes, you may.
I have to be careful what I say, and I hope that the brethren will understand. The plan of the RPCES historically began when the denomination was very small. Through the graciousness of Dr. Durnes and through the use of his facilities at the home, the plan was begun. You all were referred to page 404 with a very heavy overhead. When you hear about the premiums of the RPCES, it is because there is no overhead. That has been borne by the home. There are computer facilities. It's been all payments made through there. There have been a number of things that are just simply not typical. The Quarryville Board ruled that this issue could not become an issue in joining and receiving. I have absolutely no idea as a board member as to whether or not that home can offer the services physically. Nobody knows what will happen. But if you're not allowed to, please don't take it as something against you. It's one of these things where something grew up with a group and there comes a limit, and I don't have the answer myself, but they're simply not comparable. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to have any misunderstanding on that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Are we ready to vote on number number two? Shall we keep very shortly we will have to come to the orders of the day. Let's finish up this quickly as much as we can. Number two.
Mr. Moderator, Trey Trainum, Reedy River Presbyterian Church, Calvary Presbytery, ruling elder. I have an amendment that I wish to propose to something that we've already passed, or to this health insurance plan, and I'd just like some instruction on when I can get it in. Should it be at the right now after number nine, or at the end of the entire report?
Technically, if it is an amendment to what we've already adopted, it would have to come at the time when the report is accepted as a whole.
All right.
Thank you.
You could, for clarity, if you want to, rule it here, but then you have to rule everybody.
Yeah. The clerk says we would could do it at end of number nine, but then we would have to do that for everybody, which reminds me, talking about hospitalization, of the man who came to his boss with shakes and fever, and the boss says, well, look at it my way. If I would let you go home, I'd have to let everybody go home who has acute appendicitis. Can we vote on number nine? Those in favor of number nine, please say aye. Those against, nay. Number nine is adopted. Were there other ideas, other amendments desired? I don't know of any others. I would rule that we have just 8 minutes. I would rule that at this time, when this part of the report is before us, that you may make that, if there's no objection from the floor, you may make that proposed amendment, sir. Who is it? I would rule that now, after nine is adopted and before the report as a whole, but this part of the report is a unit, and it may be put in at this time if there is no objection, and I hear no objection. Number two, sorry.
I move that that all the matters relating to the group health insurance plan be referred back to the Committee of Commissioners for development of information and data on plans with higher deductibles and without the prescription benefit.
Yes, that's an order. It's an order, and may I ask, do you mean to reply at this meeting?
Yes, sir.
I see. At least for them to reply, if that would be at all possible. The motion has been made to refer this whole matter back to the Committee of Commissioners for a report at this meeting as to whether some other arrangements can be made. Mr. Hughes. Number 10, please.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to speak in opposition to this motion. I feel that we do not have the time during this General Assembly to do what's being asked of us to do or ask of the Committee of Commissioners. And I think it would be a waste of their time at this point to try to do this. So I speak in opposition to the motion.
The claim is that it is really impossible to gather all this information on a complicated subject in the remaining day and a half that is before us, day and a third. Further debate? Yes. You may speak
to it myself.
You may speak for it if you care to.
Mr. Moderator, there's a great deal of sentiment along this line here this afternoon, and I believe that the people who develop these figures and work with them are here. Seems to me that they are. And I don't think it would be a waste of time, as that gentleman over there said, if they could come up with something, and I believe that they could if they wanted to. It certainly wouldn't be a waste of time.
You've heard this is a motion. This has been debated for both for and against. Number nine.
Sir, Paul McHenry, Gulf Coast Presbytery. I think we're in a position now where we're going to have to take this plan at least for the next year. It's sheer ridiculousness to think that these people could contact the various carriers and alternative people
to put together a well-staffed plan to bring back. What I suggest is that we vote down this proposal before us and then instruct the standing the trustees to, in this intervening year, go ahead and make an investigation of any alternatives that might be there. And next year, lest they be boiled in oil, bring us a good plan, all the various alternatives, and let us see what's available. We can't, in the course of 2 days, come up with all the alternative people and carriers and things like that. That's just ridiculous. So I suggest that we vote it down and then instruct our board of trustees our feelings. We want lower rates. We want a good plan, and have them do a good job of staffing through this next year.
We have 5 people who want the microphone, and the orders of the day will be in 4 minutes. Can we speak very quickly? Mr. Four, number four.
I'm Lauren Watson from Calvary Presbytery, a teaching elder. 2 points. I was a group insurance accident health underwriter before I was a minister, and I want to reinforce what was just said. It would be impossible to get proposals planned and thought out by companies in the time that we have before we hope to adjourn. The second point is a personal point that relates to the prescription thing. It so happens that in the total time since we've been in the PCA, we have never used any benefit except the prescription benefit. My wife is required to take certain medications. We will never have any more children, so that type benefit is not open to us, but the prescription benefit is. And so I hope that it would even be voted out on this account. This is not a frill to us. This is very important.
This is the point where one man's meat, another man's poison. Number six.
Mr. Moderator, I'm Ralph Payton, a ruling elder of the Tennessee Valley Presbytery. For the last 10 years, I've been affiliated and an employee of the largest group insurance carrier in the South. I will not mention the names. First, I would like to confirm what has been said in that it would be highly impossible to provide the answers that have been requested here in the next 2 days. Secondly, I would commend the trustees for the design of the plan that they have come up with, in that it does encourage reduction of medical care costs by encouraging outpatient care rather than in-hospital care. Thirdly, I would say to the beneficiaries of this plan is that this is not insurance. This is a pay-as-you-go self-insured plan. The way to keep this plan cost down is to stay out of the hospital, to reduce your hospital stays, and to avoid medical care costs in any way possible. Gentlemen, this is a cost-plus plan. The plus is very small. The cost makes up over 90% of the entire premium.
Can we come to a vote before we adjourn? Must we have further discussion? We are called for it. Number eight.
Mr. Moderator. John Spencer, ruling elder at Evangel Presbytery, and I call the question.
President called for. Shall we come to a vote? Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. I'll put the question. The question is on this proposed amendment that was given. Would you read it quickly?
That all matters relating to the group health plan be referred to the Committee of Commissioners for development of information on plans with higher deductibles and without the prescription benefit.
Shall we vote on this? Nothing further you have to say, Don?
No.
Those in favor of the amendment, please say aye. Those opposed, say no.
No.
I believe it is carried. And I believe the orders of the day have come.
That's right, there's loss.
I'm sorry. It's I who am lost. I think probably there are some announcements.
Yes, sir.
Shall we have attention?
Somebody at mic.
A point of order?
Yes. Irwin Morris, teaching out of Philadelphia. Is it the intention of the chair, since I also have a motion related to this portion of the report, to allow us to introduce that before going on to the other portion of the report after the recess?
An amendment on this basis, just as we've allowed before, I must allow for you also.
Thank you.
At the appropriate time. Thank you. Number 10 also.
Mike Williams, Evangel Presbytery. I move that we amend the docket to reconvene at 6:45 p.m., Mr. Moderator.
It is moved that we amend the docket to take a shorter supper hour like this. Is there a second to that?
There was. It will take a two-thirds.
It will take a two-thirds, yes, to amend the docket. Do you have any wisdom on that to speak? One suggestion is 7 rather than 7:30. The mover would agree to 7 o'clock, and that might be a good idea, brethren. We're running a little behind now. Number 2.
Mr. Moderator, Irwin Morris in Philadelphia Presbytery. The problem with that is that some of us are not staying here or eating here and have a little distance to go for dinner and then to get back. That may make it tough on some of us.
It might be quicker than the line, however.
Get dinner. Get fast.
I have one solution, if we would just all go to the head of the line. Fasting has been suggested. This motion to reconvene at 7 o'clock is before you. Two-thirds vote. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. I believe that carries by a two-thirds vote, and I would rule so.
Mr. Moderator?
There's a question. There are a few announcements, please. Give attention.
I have a couple of announcements, one for our former PCA brethren, non-RPs, that the PCES, in the years of its existence, at least from 1965 to 1982, has developed quite a few study papers and interesting and very helpful significant decisions, and there's a prospectus of the documents of Synod of the RPCES that will be published, a book that will be published, approximately 550 pages. That prospectus with a special order blank is over on the table over here for the RPCES. Now, I would call your attention to those who are former RPCES people to hear the announcement concerning a news release from Joel Bell at microphone 2.
First, the question.
Question.
May PCA men also get this?
Yes, that's why I'm encouraging all of you who would want to have that. It's a special opportunity that we have of putting these special papers together, and I would encourage you to have them as a historical document of the RPC.
About 650, I believe.
650. The details are on the blank, and if you care to make a check out to the RPCES, that would be helpful and ensure you're getting it.
Announcement, Mr. Bell's number 2.
This is of interest to those of you formerly in the RPCES who have asked for a news release to explain your change of affiliation in your local newspapers. We have these prepared for you over here at this table. Please pick them up on your way out. There are two kinds. One, if you are from a church which is the only former RPCES church in your newspaper market area, and the other is if there are several former RPCES churches in your market area. And please pick up the one that applies to your situation.
One more.
And then one more. Because of the dwindling numbers of people, CRC are also ready to close down their operations. Tomorrow morning's devotional is to be led by Mr. Bill Shell, and the speaker for tomorrow morning's devotional at 8 o'clock in the morning is Bernie Kuiper.
We reconvene at 7 o'clock, correct?
7 o'clock.
Shall we join in, rise and join in prayer? Mr. Larson, will you lead us in prayer, please? Number 2.
Our gracious God and Father, we are thankful that you have given us the privilege of meeting here these past few days. We thank you for the evidence that your Spirit is here. Heavenly Father, we confess before you that our fatigue is beginning to show for many of us. And yet we thank you that you are he who has called us here, and you are the one who will provide the ability to persevere, to accomplish what is needed. Heavenly Father, that you might sustain us and nourish us through the meal to come, and that your blessing may go with us as we continue our meeting through tomorrow and give us safety on our way home. Thank you, Lord God, that you are our King, in Jesus' name.
Will the commissioners please take their seats? Shall we gather and take our seats, and shall we sing hymn number 173, a great old hymn, St. Theodulf. Standing, and I'll ask ruling elder Verl Currents of Silver Spring, I believe, to lead us in prayer, and at mic number 5. Ms. Currents, may I ask you to pray for Mr. Perrin? I believe Mr. Perrin was called home to his mother's bedside, who had had surgery and they discovered cancer, and at a time of a great burden. Mr. Currents, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, what a gracious privilege it is to come into your presence in the name of Christ. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and what he means to each of us. We thank you, our God, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And we do indeed pray that your Spirit may be leading and guiding us in all the matters at hand tonight. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this precious time of fellowship and love together, and how we do thank and praise you for that you've made it all possible, our God, through the love of the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice for us. Now bless us and guide us in the business here at hand, Lord, that we may do it according to your will and that we may indeed know your Spirit's direction. In Jesus' name, and we ask, Father, for Mr. Perrin, and we do pray your blessing in this family and for healing and strengthening. Have your way, our God, and may they know your presence in a real way. we ask in the name of the Savior, for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Now, there's two or three special things. I believe there was a request for microphone number 10, for a point of personal privilege, Michael Bolas, microphone number 10.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Fathers and brothers, as we have been engaged again in our long discussion concerning the matter of the health of those who are under our medical health coverage, and over the past several weeks, talking, comparing notes with others in different places, not only I, but others have come under the conviction that certainly while not all of this would be so, that perhaps we ought to, as believers again, hear this portion of our Lord's word, and then with your permission, Mr. Moderator, after sharing this, I would like to have the privilege of sharing a time of prayer concerning the ongoing health of us individually and our families during this next year. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And, Mr. Moderator, if I might just, as a personal point of privilege, ask those who would, before the Lord, if you would just privately in your own heart, and perhaps if you get back with your individual sessions, covenant to pray with one another in these days ahead, this year ahead, in a specific way, and see what God would, by his mighty power, do for us and with us in this very realm of our health, because how Satan would like to have us set aside from doing what our Master has called us to do. And I cannot help but believe that many times a part of this is due to his onslaught, and we ought not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Shall we pray, sir?
Will you pray?
Our gracious Father, we're thankful today for the mighty victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of heaven and earth. We thank you today for he who holds together the universe by the word of his power. And today that we who are called by thy grace and commissioned into this very special manner of service can call upon our gracious God's mighty arm, the power of the word, and the power of thy spirit to give us godly wisdom in how we carry on our daily affairs, to recognize those times in which we may be directly under the onslaughts of the evil one, to be those who are endowed with that wisdom that cometh from above, so that we might, our Father, pray for one another, and pray in a very specific way that we might be given that perfect measure of health which is most pleasing and best in thy sight, for which we might be more fitted to be those who would really glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, our ministries, our homes, our churches, our communities. Our Father, we've heard today of the tremendous increase of the needs, the help needs of our constituency. And we would pray together that thou might grant to all of us, our Father, a greater measure of physical health, emotional health,
spiritual health, so that we might, our Lord, in this year ahead, between now and next year's assembly, if our Lord does care, to be able to come back and jointly testify one to the other that even in these realms of life, we have seen the hand of our God preserving us and healing us and protecting us and doing great things so that we might have the help that we need to carry on our Master's service. So, Father, give to us, we pray thee, that measure of health whereby we might, as a denomination, truly carry the word of Christ against the bastions of Satan and see again that truly the gates of hell cannot prevail against thy church. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now we had just finished point number 10 and we're about to go to the part relating to the annuity plan, but there were number nine, yes. Yes, I ought to be able to get that far. But there were two men to whom we promised the right of the floor that they might make an amendment that pertained to the previous work as a whole. And are they ready to speak? Number 11, Mr. Fraser.
Mr. Moderator, Dick Fraser, Central Florida Presbytery. I would move the following, that we amend recommendation 9 to renumber as 9A and add recommendation 9B to read as follows. 9B, during the period of open enrollment as provided and conditioned by recommendation 9A, if at least 75% of present Covenant Theological Seminary participants enroll, the pre-existing conditions limitation for first-year coverage will be waived for that group if this provision is approved by the insurance carrier.
You've heard the motion. Is it seconded? Moved and seconded. Would you speak for it?
This simply gives to this group the same accommodation that has been offered to those who are currently members of the RPCES or the eligibles of the RPCES of the health insurance plan that is covering the majority of those individuals. It just happens the seminary has a separate plan of its own, and we're asking to be considered as a group with the same privilege as has already been granted.
And that is subject to the acceptance by the insurer.
The insurance people have tried to contact their agent, and they don't have an answer yet, so it has to be conditioned on their acceptance.
It's conditional. Very good. Any debate particularly is hardly necessary on this, it would seem. Ready to accept this? I hear no objection, see no problem. Mic number 3, yes.
Mr. Moderator, Roland Barnes, teaching elder, Central Georgia Presbytery. I just wondered, just as a point of information, would there be, if we would vote to include the faculty and people at the Covenant Seminary, would there be a need also to do the same thing for Covenant College?
I don't think so. Covenant College is not under that same situation, I believe.
Very much.
Thank you. If there is no objection or question, we'll accept this as offered, and 9, that would be 9B, and the present 9 would then be renumbered to be 9A. You have that at the desk. Okay, that is passed. There was another, I believe, that was offered over on this side. Is that number 6? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Irwin Morrison, teaching elder, Philadelphia Presbytery. My motion is in two parts, sir. First, that the assembly direct the trustees of insurance and annuity to make available to any who have need of it the necessary census information required for obtaining quote information for group health insurance. And second, in the event that the trustees of insurance and annuity are able to arrange a comparable health insurance program at a substantial reduction in the cost of the present program, they are hereby empowered by the assembly so to do. If there's a second, I'd like to speak to it.
I'd
You seconded?
Can I
keep speak for it?
For a minute? Just for a minute. Mr. Moderator, the intent that I have here, first of all, is that in coming prepared, having done some homework for the assembly, one of the great problems I ran into was the fact that many of the men I talked to about insurance said that they wanted to see a copy of our census and our information related to our track record, if you will. I think we don't want to make this available to everybody who sneezes and says they want it, but if there's a request from a particular carrier for this information that one of us may be able to secure and lending a hand at this point, it would be good for us to be able to have that available so that perhaps another quote could be secured. Which led me to the second part of the motion, which was that if in fact we are able to secure another carrier who is willing to give us a comparable insurance package but at a substantial reduction, and I think that's an important emphasis I've written in, that if in fact we can do that, we empower the trustees of insurance and annuity to put that package in place of the present Mutual of New York package we have. I think it's just simply saying, Mr. Moderator, we are unhappy, some of us. Some of us don't want to leave the team. We hope that we'll be able to keep within the PCA's insurance program. And this may be one way that some of us can be working on it. And if, in fact, we're productive, be able to stay in the team. Thank you.
You've heard the, this motion, which is in the way of an amendment by addition, I guess. And is there some response to it? Are you speaking on the opposite side? Are you speaking on the opposite side?
I have a question, and then I think I will speak on the opposite side. Is that one motion or two, Mr. Moderator?
It was presented as one motion, I
believe. Presented as one. Jim Meek, teaching elder of Louisiana Presbytery, I find something unseemly in the notion of the trustees simply passing this information around. I'm puzzled why the maker of the motion didn't simply request that the simply try to put the trustees in contact themselves with any reputable insurance people who could with whom they could pursue this. I think it's repetitious and unseemly to have the members of the General Assembly all pricing, running around the country pricing insurance. I would speak against at least the first portion of this amendment.
Number 10.
Mr. Moderator, Jim Hughes from North Georgia Presbytery. I would also speak against the motion. I think that the confidentiality of our record would preclude our doing this. Now, we have no objection to submitting this information to an insurance company if we need to do that to get a quote, but to hand it to one of our members in our congregation or our churches, I think, is beyond something we should do.
You heard these remarks. Number 6 again.
Erwin Morrison, I'm the mover. I would be open to having someone suggest that as an amendment to that motion, that it be given to a proper carrier. I don't intend that I or any other member of this assembly would have it, but rather that it will be readily available to any other insurance carrier whom we may contact.
Would
that's the
accept,
desire.
Would
I would accept that as a change in the motion. Yes, sir.
As an amendment. Would the seconder also accept that?
No.
Okay.
Is there somebody who just wanted to see something happen?
Okay. Are we ready then to vote? If that is accepted, well, then it practically boils down to enabling motion in case somebody can get a cheaper one, isn't that it? Understand? The motion, there's no one speaking the microphone. Are you ready to vote? Those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. I believe it is lost. Have a standing division only. Count division really takes time, brethren. Those in favor, please rise. Thank you. Those against, please rise. It is lost, clearly. Thank you. Now I believe we are ready to proceed. Number 8.
That did not come through the Committee of Commissioners on Administration because of its lateness, but it was approved by the Permanent Committee on Administration. Additional recommendations.
Thank you. Thank you.
It is recommended that the 1982 and 1983 salaries of the coordinators of the various committees be increased by the amount equal to any additional cost of hospital medical insurance approved by the 10th General Assembly.
John, that's out of order, for this is annuities and leasing. That's not the proper place to let you hold that, and the time will come for you to make that when the Committee on Administration.
I apologize.
Yes, sir.
I am informed, believe, and therefore aver that this is out of order. Thank you. At this time, shall we go ahead then with the matters relating to the annuity plan? And, brethren, if we can get this off the floor rather quickly, it would be a great help. We have yet big business tonight. Mr. Darling, proceed with number 10.
With the moderator's permission, let me insert one statement here that was called to my attention, and that is that along with the hospitalization, this is especially for the former RPCES men, that there is a group life insurance available. The rate sheets are up on the table, and the experts are up in the coffee room in the northeast, I suppose it's northeast corner of this building, up in that far corner. But these rate sheets would be available if you want to look at the group life rates that are there. It was not a change, so we didn't recommend it, but someone suggested we commend it. Now, gentlemen, if we will, please come again to page 462, and we will move to items relating to the annuity plan, beginning with number 10. The recommendation is that the General Assembly acknowledge a 1982 special gift credit of 3% declared by the trustees of the gift annuity fund. I so move.
It is moved. Any questions? Objections? I, for one, do not understand, but if the rest of you do, well, that's perfectly all right. I'm not going to ask a question. I see. Okay, number four, Mike Four.
Lauren Watson from Calvary Presbytery. I don't understand either, so if it could be explained, I'd appreciate it.
Could it be explained in words of one syllable for people like me?
This really applies to those who've been in the PCA. We have a special fund called a gift annuity fund, and individuals within the church are able to put money in this fund like they would a savings account. And what we're doing is saying that we believe a special credit of 3% should be given on the earnings into this particular fund. Now, the reason that we're only doing it on the gift annuity fund and not on the other two annuity funds is because they'll be picked up in recommendations 11, 12, and so forth.
Maybe so. Where are my men? I'm told that the time has expired on the consideration of this issue. We do have 10, 11, 12, and 13 to consider. Would you be willing to extend the time for another 15 minutes? I don't have my advisors here. This is different kind of material and not subject to that time limit. We go straight ahead. Okay. You are on the floor, Mr. Darling. Number 10, did we vote on 10?
Yes,
yes.
Sir.
Number 11.
Recommendation number 11.
I don't think we did vote.
We did not?
I don't think we did vote, but there is no one who is asking any further questions, so we will declare it adopted. Oh, sorry, number 7.
Question, what was the amount last year?
The same amount, 3%.
Are you sure?
Tim, help me out on that.
Gordon Moore will answer the question.
On the gift annuity, the last year was 3%. On the minister's annuity, it was 10%. See what you're thinking about, Tim.
Okay. Thank you. Number 11.
Recommendation number 11. that the General Assembly adopt the voluntary tax-sheltered annuity plan as described on pages 405 to 426 and the money purchase pension plan described on pages 427 to 450 and approve the enabling resolution on page 451. I so move.
You've heard this motion. Is there questions or opposition, debate? This has come before us, I believe, in various ways. This is the main plan, isn't that right? This is the main motion here?
Yes, sir.
Essentially, this is the one that will allow us to go on to the to adopt the voluntary tax sheltered annuity and the money purchase plan and so on. Number 11, are you ready to vote? I here see no one asking for those in favor. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It is carried. Recommendation number 12, that the General Assembly authorize the trustees to modify the proposed PCA voluntary tax sheltered annuity plan to provide that all plan assets may be invested in annuity contracts issued by an insurance company or a custodial account which is invested exclusively in regulated investment stocks, explanation mutual funds, as permitted under Code Section 403B7. I so move.
A point of question, that Code Section 403, by that's a government regulation, Internal Revenue Regulation. You've heard the proposal, number 12, the book. No question, no one asking, no opposition to this. If not, shall we come to a vote? Those in favor of number 12, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. It is ordered. 13.
Recommendation 13, and this applies, of course, especially to those who are in the current annuity fund for ministers and employees. So may I invite your special attention if you are in that fund, if you are not, pay special attention anyway. That the net assets of the current annuity fund for ministers and employees annuity fund be transferred to the new voluntary